morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be gathered together once again. I'm Vic Walter, and it's my pleasure to be your worship guide this morning. One of the great things that happened this last week was the gathering together of the churches in Encounter Lutheran College last Sunday afternoon. It was really great. Oh, there's nothing on the screen there, but there will be. But there was a great crowd in the gondoli, and we worshipped and prayed together, and there was food after, and I believe a great sense of camaraderie and oneness in the Lord there. For the week ahead, next weekend, Pastor Nigel will be sharing the introductory message before we prepare to enter into Lent and begin our Lent small groups any time after next Sunday. In 10 days' time, it will be Ash Wednesday. How did that come around so quick? Pastor is running a backup small group Thursday, the 9:30 a.m. in the green room, and all are welcome to be part of the Lenten studies with Pastor Nigel if you haven't got another small group to go to. Please specifically announce... Oh, that's what that is talking to me. I will announce the AGM on the 22nd of February, 2 weeks away. The book of reports is out are out in preparation for our AGM. So go to the email if you get your emails and look at the reports, or if you need a hard copy, see Marg Paik. And of course, if you want to get all the full news, you scan our QR codes and join us online. There's so much more to be found there. And if you need help with that, I'm sure someone younger than me can help you. Let us begin our worship. As we begin this final week of our tour of Corinth, we begin with the words from 1 Corinthians 2:9. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. And we worship together today. We worship God in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thank you, Derek, for our first song, Eagle's Wings. Thank you.
Everybody. Welcome to worship here at Victor Harbour Lutheran today. It's great to see visitors here with us today from near and far. I just want to begin by celebrating how amazing it is when we get together as one, as the body of Christ in our town. How amazing it is last Sunday afternoon when so many Christians together from our town joined together as one body to worship and pray together. And to see God's blessings flow. For where oneness is experienced amongst God's people, God bestows his amazing blessing. So this week we've been humbled to see the majesty of God at work as God's people have gathered together. We've also seen the majesty of the power of nature. The power of nature at work as the fires have devastated the bottom end of our Fleurieu Peninsula. It's been a hard week for many in our region. And today I just want to acknowledge the hard work of those who have been fighting the fires, of which I know of at least one who are in the room here today. Bryce, thank you for your service in the CFS. There may be others I'm unaware of in the room here today. Is there anyone else knows is in the room who is part of the CFS? I know that also Derek's son Lee has been out fighting the fires as well. You probably know of others too who have been doing so. Some of you may know people who have been impacted by these fires or experienced loss because of it. Then there's also been the sadness of the plane crash down at Goolwa on Friday afternoon. Our hearts break for those families who are impacted by the death of those three men. And so today as we worship, we also pray for their families. We also pray for all the emergency service personnel who work in our community, tirelessly giving of themselves for the sake of people in difficult circumstances. Friends, when we are faced with natural disasters like these or moments of sadness, our best response will always be one of compassion, where we see what's going on, where we feel the pain, and we act with courage. As we worship together today, may we firstly remember these people who we have named now, that we may pray for them, that we may thank God for them. But right now, you probably realise that so often we find it hard to find the right words to say in times of disaster. You know, I want to remind you today as God's people that God has given us Jesus to be our focus. And God's Spirit will lead us to believe that Jesus suffered and died for us. But not only did he suffer and die for us, but that he is truly present with us even in the sufferings of our world too. And he alone can bring new life and resurrection hope into the darknesses, dark times that we face. And amazingly, he may even do that through you and me as we trust him and as we follow the Spirit's lead. Friends, today, in St. Paul's letter to the Church of God at Corinth, we're going to read this, and I invite you to join in the response with me. We don't come with any fancy words or human wisdom. We come to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. So let's turn to God and admit to him our false pursuits. Lord, we admit that we often chase the world's wisdom and ignore your wisdom. We often ignore your Spirit. We confess our reliance upon human wisdom and our failure to seek the things of the Spirit. We confess that we are born sinful. We have relied on our own understanding rather than your hidden wisdom. Forgive us for living by sight and not by your Spirit. For Christ's sake, God forgives you all your sins, that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. May you worship the Lord with joy this day, and the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Friends, while I'm announcing this news of forgiveness to you, may I also make another brief announcement. In these last days, God's call on my life has become clear to me. And the result of that is that I will continue serving with you. And so today, down at Nova Gardens, they are receiving the news that I have declined the call to go and serve there. And so at this point, we continue to partner together. And I pray that our relationship as pastor and people may continue to be strengthened by the power of God's grace for us all and for our city. And so may I say to you, the peace of the Lord be with you. Let's take a moment to share that peace with each other today. Peace be with you. Karen, peace be with you. And also with you, Helen. Sarah, peace be with you. I think it's time to praise God. Would you like to stand as we join together in singing Ancient of Days?
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. Ancient of Days.
Let's ask the Spirit to open our ears as we hear his word today. Father God, we thank you that your Spirit is with us. Open our ears now that we may hear your word, that it may dwell in us and grow in us, that we may be your salt and light in this community, in your power and in your name. Amen.
I, Paul, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. For we have received, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit, but God considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is God's word for us today. The next one's from Matthew 5. Oh, you're doing this one.
Reading from Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. May your word live in us.
Amen. So we've heard it said, Jesus saying, "You are the light of the world." Who's that you? Sometimes when we hear the word you, we think of it as a singular, as if it's pointing just to one person. Sometimes when we see the word you, we realise that it is far more than that. Back years ago, when some of you may have attended a Sunday school, you probably learnt the word, the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." I wonder whether that song has sometimes influenced the way that we've listened to this verse, that we see it as a personal thing. I am the light of the world. There might be a truth in that, but I believe there's a greater truth. You see, what we need to understand when we hear Jesus share this statement is the context in which he is sharing it. He is sharing this declaration not just to one individual standing in front of him, but Jesus is up on the mountainside teaching his disciples, all of his disciples who had come and gathered before him. And all of them, everyone who chooses to come and sit at his feet is a learner from him. Simply by their action of coming and sitting at his feet, they are disciples of Jesus. And he says to them collectively, "You are the light of the world." It's not a singular you, it's a plural you. I think we often forget this. When the people who gather before Jesus in community and oneness, I'll start again. When the people of God gather together in community in a spirit of oneness, something amazing happens. That's when God's blessings flow. Our individualist modern world leaves us thinking that we are individual lights. But it's only when all of us come together in our oneness in Jesus that we can truly shine bright. In the international world, there's a certain unit that describes an intensity of light. I've learnt that it is something called candelas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Gordon's nodding, so I must be pronouncing it right. Gordon would know these things as a professor. Candelas. And what I understand is one candelas is equivalent to the brightness and intensity of one candle. Think of that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." There's a brightness of one candelas. But if you look at the large navigational beacons that we see around our country, are they that bright? Are they that intense? Of course not. They are so much brighter and so much more intense. And so just for fun today, I thought I might test your local knowledge. I want you to think about all the major navigational beacons and lighthouses in our region. I want you to have a chat to the person next to you and see how many of them you can name, and see if you can name them in order of distance from Victor Harbour. There's a challenge for you. So think about those that are closest to Victor Harbour, and then see if you can work out, well, which ones are the next closest ones? Just have a chat for a minute. See which ones you can come up with that you know of, either navigational beacons or lighthouses in our area. Now, note the trick in this question. We're not just talking about big lighthouses, we're also talking about navigational beacons. And some of them are actually very close to Victor Harbour. I wonder if anyone can name where a navigational beacon sits very close to Victor Harbour. Granite Island. Yes, Granite Island happens to be the closest of the navigational beacons. There might be one at Port Elliot too. Where is that one at Port Elliot? On the High Park. Oh, that obelisk. Yeah, I guess it was one of the original historical navigational landmarks. We're going to talk lights today, and I don't think there's a light on top of that one. So I'm going to rule that one out. Thinking a bit further afield, where can you think of other navigation?
The pages?
Well, I'm going to show you one before we get to that, because there's a line of navigational beacons down at the boat ramp. And they are as bright as the one on top of Granite Island I've discovered. They have the same visual, you can see them from the same distance away. Interesting when you start researching this stuff. But the rest are all further afield, at least the ones I'm going to focus on today. There might be others in the region too. The next closest, Vic is on the money. It's the Pages Beacon. If one day you find yourself walking along the Hyson Trail in the area that is now been burnt or is burning, and you look out over the ocean, you will see the two islands, the Pages. And on the south of those islands, if you look really hard, you'll see this little beacon, they call it. They don't even call it a lighthouse. It's not even that tall. But the light is bright, and it can be seen from a long way away. Now it gets tricky. What's the next closest lighthouse from us?
Cape Turners.
You're right. It is Cape Jervis. Cape Jervis, another very bright lighthouse. Keep going. Cape Willoughby, Kangaroo Island. Okay, there's several lighthouses on Kangaroo Island. Which one are you going to name first? I've heard Cape Willoughby mentioned. Does anyone know of another one that's sort of in range? Cape Borders, the other end of... We're talking about closest to Victor Harbour, so you have to just grow your circle of perimeter. Well, I'll tell you, it's not actually even that way. It's actually a lighthouse out by Lake Alexandrina. That's the next closest one to us, Point Malcolm Lighthouse. And it just happens to be a lighthouse that we'll be going past on Sunday the 14th of June when we go on our congregation social tour with the residents of the village. Okay, let's keep going. We've done the tricky one now. No one ever thought of that one, would have they? No. Yes, you did. Pete did. Well done, Pete. Kangaroo Island we're looking now. There's two possibilities. One is Cape Willoughby, the other one is called Cape St Albans. Which do you think is closer? Let's see, Cape St Albans Lighthouse. And this one is extremely bright. Extremely bright. And actually has two different lights that must flash, according to my research. And finally, the last one I'm going to dwell on today, otherwise we'll go all around Australia, is Cape Willoughby, a famous lighthouse which isn't as bright as it once was. There's just a little bit of trivia for you about bright lights in our community that help to bring about navigation. Do you realise that when this place was established as a place of worship on the hill here in, where are we, McCracken? It was as if this place of worship was sitting on a hill overlooking Victor Harbour. We don't notice it quite as much nowadays because of the buildings around us. But back then, there were those who were the prayer people of our community who saw this community as a potential lighthouse, a place that together we would shine the light of Christ across the Victor Harbour community. And I guess that's why on our banner over here we still have that image of a lighthouse sitting high. And just up the road at Encounter Lutheran College, even their early learning centre carries that name, Lighthouse, reminding us, firstly, that Jesus is the light of the world. But today I really want you to think about who is Jesus speaking to, and remember who Jesus is speaking to when he says, "You are the light of the world." You is everyone. Everyone who hears the message of Jesus and listens to him. And today that is bigger than just us in the room. Around our city, there are many communities that are gathering where they also sit at the feet and listen to the words of our Lord. When everyone in the city who looks to Jesus as their Lord works together in unity, then our light is at its brightest for the sake of those who live in the community. Remember today also the words of Psalm 133, that the Lord pours out his blessing on the entire community when God's people live together in unity. And that's what we saw last Sunday afternoon as the Church of the Great South Coast came together in worship and prayer. And I thank God for you who came along and participated in that most special time of worship and prayer. And in the coming weeks, the church together here on the South Coast are taking some big steps of faith. On Saturday the 14th of March, we have the Jesus in the Park evangelism event down at Warland Reserve. It's going to be a big event. You've heard me speak about this before. But at this point of the planning, the planners are looking for volunteers. Volunteers who might be willing to serve in a variety of ways, whether it be cooking or welcoming or praying or assisting with the baptisms. There are so many different ways that you could possibly volunteer. You could even just email these people and say to them, "I'd like to volunteer and these are the things I'm passionate about. Can you help me find a way of helping and serving on the day?" You can also support by interceding for this event. And to help you prepare to intercede in preparation for this event, this afternoon at 4 o'clock down at the Exalt Church, many Christians from across our town are going to be coming together to pray in preparation. And here's a little message from our church leaders in town about this.
Hey, Victor Harbour Churches, we are so excited about Jesus in the Park, which is kicking off in March 14th. And who knows that prayer precedes a move of God?
Absolutely. So February the 8th at Exalt Church at 4 p.m, we're going to be interceding and covering this event and soaking it with prayer.
Join us on that night, on that date, for the first prayer meeting for Jesus in the Park. We'd love to see you there and make a dent in the prayer world together.
Amen.
For some of you, it might be tricky to get there today, But if you can, or if you are free or able, go along and join the community in prayer. There's another way that you can support this event, and that is by supporting it financially. Over the next couple of weeks, there'll be the opportunity for you to give a free will extra offering towards this particular event. You can simply put your offering in a regular envelope, mark it Jesus in the Park, and place it in the offering box, and we'll make sure that it gets to where it's meant to go. You will also be able to, if you like, take one of these little cards from the welcome desk today, and if you prefer to give your donation direct and electronically, you'll be able to use the details on this card to do just that. Now, sometimes being involved in evangelism type events can take us out of our comfort zone. And so to help us with that, we are again providing the Making the Most of Faith conversation training on the 21st of February in preparation for the day. So if you haven't done this training, I invite you to sign up today for it. It will also enable you and give you the opportunity to possibly become a Welcome Pack visitor too, if you so choose. But for your own personal growth, this is an amazing course to be part of on that Saturday morning. The information forms are all on one of the information tables out in the hall. Friends, Jesus has come to be the light of the world, and he now says to those who gather before him and listen to him, you together are the light of the world. You are the light of the world, not just in your household or your street or your neighbourhood. You are the light of the world in your city too. And it's when we come and stand and work together as his followers in oneness that we truly discover what it means to be his light. When the church together stands as one, as his light, no one will be left in the darkness in our city. And so may we see both Victor Harbour and the bigger region of the Great South Coast being a place where people of every nation will live together in peace, worshipping and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord as one people. So as we prepare to sing our offering song today, let's remember God's work for us. And let's ask, what can we offer to the Lord for all his goodness to us? Let's stand, if we're able, as we sing our offering song.
Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carried on your wings. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. How my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever. In your power and majesty, lift my hands, lift my my voice towards the heavens, for you are my sun and shield. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. Love you so much, Jesus, love you so much, love you so much, Jesus, love you so much, love you so much.
Let us pray together the offering prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings you shower on us each moment of every day. We bring before you now our monetary and reg offerings coming from hearts that have been transformed by your Holy Spirit. Bless both gift and giver to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now pray for Pastor and ourselves as we hear his word. Dear Lord, we thank you for Pastor Nigel and his love for you and your word. We pray a blessing on this gathering and Pastor's message, that your Holy Spirit work in and through the words of Pastor to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Well, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a spin we had last week. Those of us who were here last week will remember that we found ourselves on the bus doing our imaginary tour of Corinth, and we got stuck on that roundabout, didn't we? Who remembers that? Yeah, some of you remember that?
Where's the hat?
Well, let me explain the story here, Mark. Yes, we found ourselves stuck on the roundabout with that crazy tour guide who was wearing this hat. It's a pretty cool hat, though, isn't it? Guess what I said to him before I hopped off the bus? I like your hat. So he gave it to me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I've got this most awesome souvenir now from my trip around Corinth, and I'm going to treasure this deeply. I'm going to treasure it even more because when he gave it to me, he told me it was actually his grandfather's hat once. And so he values it so special, and he loved being on the tour with you so much that he gave me this as a souvenir. So what do you think? Should I wear the hat I was given? Or shall I just put it to the side and keep it in a box? Wear it? You sure? Wear the tour guide's hat? Okay. Oh, he must have a similar size head to me. Well, remember last week how our tour guide took us round and round that roundabout? And he, in fact, helped us remember that the central scripture in 1 Corinthians is this one verse from 1 Corinthians 1:18. Can we read it together? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Remember our bus trip driver, tour guide, also taught us some actions to go along with this. I wonder if you were there and could remember what the actions were. I think I can remember just. If you remember, you follow along with me. And I remember there was a sign for action that looked a bit like a gate, but then I'd turn my head and point. The message of the cross, big cross. Well, there are a lot of people that went on the tour last week by the looks of it. Are you all new here? If you were here last week and you remember, please try and do this with me because it's a way of helping us remember. And if you weren't here, I'm sorry that you missed a tutorial last week when that amazing bus driver led us through this. But this is how it goes. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I'm amazed how many of you remember that. Wow. Well, if you are visiting here today and you want to learn those signs well, you can see there's lots of experts in the room who can teach that to you over a coffee later on. Well, today we are focusing on the second chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And Paul starts by giving, of all things, a type of apology. You see, Paul really wasn't the type of person that the people of Corinth were expecting. The Corinthians expected Paul to be eloquent and full of human wisdom. But he wasn't full of human wisdom at all. He didn't speak with great eloquence either. Instead, he had simply come to proclaim a message that he called the testimony of God or the mystery of God. Now, you'll see in our notes here, I've gone and put a few extra pieces down the bottom. You see, some copies of Paul's letter that have been handed down through time use the word mysterion, which means mystery of God, and others use marturion, which means testimony of God. It seems odd that over time we have different copies of this letter that have been copied different ways. I guess it suggests that even over time there can be human error in the copying of Scripture. It doesn't change the fact that God's word is inerrant and the message of it remains true, but still there is and has been the variations that have been handed down throughout time. So, in the end, we could read this one of two ways. We can read this saying that Paul came to proclaim to the people the mystery of God, or we could read it, Paul came to proclaim the testimony of God, or the testimony about God. Now, if we went to have a good look through Paul's letters, we would find that there are about 22 times where Paul refers to the mystery of God. But really, there's only two or three places that come close where Paul speaks about the testimony of God. So I wonder, friends, if you had to choose which word sounds more like Paul based upon what I've just told you, I wonder which one you would choose. Who votes for Paul saying, "I proclaim to you the mystery of God"? Who of you votes for saying, "I proclaim the testimony of God"? You can see the challenge, can't you? There was many hands that went up for both. Well, when I sat down with a few colleagues of mine this week, we came to the sense of agreement that we loved this phrase, mystery of God. Now, just as Paul went to the people of Corinth with weakness and fear, I, as your pastor, accepted a call to come and serve you here 5 years ago, also with weakness and fear and trembling. Like Paul, I know that my preaching and teaching may not always be with wise and persuasive words. Yet I'm believing that God's Spirit still works, that he can take the humble message proclaimed of Christ crucified and his cross for us all and use it to demonstrate his power in your daily life. Still today, it is that very message of the cross and his saving grace that is the power to sustain your faith, no matter how humble or weak or disjointed your preacher may be at times. And over our time together so far, I have endeavoured, much like Paul, to focus on sharing God's wisdom. The wisdom that God would come to save us and be with us and keep us as his forever. And friends, that is a message that is so far removed from human or worldly wisdom. But what is it? It's the power of God. Human wisdom says life is about what I can get from the other person, or at best it is what I can negotiate from the other person so that both of us get a good deal. But God's wisdom is absolutely different to both of them. He has come to show us what it means to live with sacrificial love, a love that tips the world upside down. God, my friends, does all the giving, and we have no way to outgive God in return and thanks. All we can do, as our friend Luther would say, is belong to Jesus so that Jesus can rule over us as our King. All we can do is live under him and serve him, innocent and happy forever, just as he was raised to life and lives and rules forever. And what do we love to say after hearing words like that? This is certainly true. And not only that, God has given us his Spirit to help us and guide us in all our judgments and decisions. No one could ever imagine or humanly conceive, as we hear in the reading on the screen, that God would come and that God would dwell with us and that his presence would remain with us always. It's his Spirit that leads us into all truth. His Spirit calls us to Jesus and leads us to know and trust him. His Spirit is what makes us holy and keeps us in the Christian faith. And in this Christian church, day after day, the Spirit keeps on forgiving all our sins and the sins of everyone who believes in Jesus. And at the end of time, Luther says, the Spirit will raise us to life together with all who have died and will give us and all others who believe in Jesus, yes, all others who believe in Jesus, eternal life. This too is certainly true. How amazing it is that the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so on Tuesday, when I met with my colleagues from our Southern Lutheran Ministries network area, when we discussed this text, we together noticed how this text describes the Spirit as what we today might call the most powerful search engine the world will ever know. All around us, there is so much talk of artificial intelligence, isn't there? You've read about that in Matt's Precy at the front page of our community news email this week. But Matt highlighted for us in his Precy that artificial intelligence relies upon the data that is in its own database. It relies upon all the information it has been able to collect. But get this, God's Spirit is still able to search far, far deeper than even that. God's Spirit can search the deep things of God. And probably most incredible is that God has given you, gifted you his Spirit at your baptism, and he renews you daily with his Spirit through the Word and through prayer. And it is God's Spirit in us that makes the biggest difference in our life. For it's by his Spirit that we have access to even the deep things of God, for we are drawn into that personal relationship with our very Creator. We even, by the power of the Spirit, get to understand the spiritual battle that Jesus has ultimately won for us in the heavenlies. And so when I start to think about all this, I realise that my Spirit knows me the best. At the same time, God's Spirit knows God the best. Yet God has gifted us his Spirit so that we may know him best too. So today, we as a community celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit that he has given to us the mind of Christ. He has given us the mind of Christ, not for our just for our own well-being, but that we might be led to live according to God's will. It is the Holy Spirit alone who can help us navigate, investigate, and examine all those most difficult decisions and choices that we must make along life's way. And as I look back over these last 4 weeks, I can assure you that there has been a lot of wrestle going on. But in the end, the Holy Spirit was able, through both a wise counsel of colleagues and friends, through word and prayer, to lead me to a point where I am at peace to say, God is calling me to continue to serve with you. And so as I continue to serve with you, there's something I've come to realise. That God is calling me to stand side by side in oneness with the other Christian ministers in our city, that we together may pass to the city and discover healthy ways to enable all Christians to find their place, their purpose, and their partnership in this city, in his mission, so that everyone in the city may come to know this mystery of God. Friends, as we lean in on the Holy Spirit, our decisions will not be subject to anyone else's judgments. Our decisions are only ever subject to our Lord God. He remains the one judge we are to listen to. And if he leads us, how important it is that we follow his lead. Some may be disappointed with the decisions that I feel led to have made. I know the people at Emmanuel sure will be. But friends, in all of our Christian decision making, let us together lean in on the Spirit and remain accountable and subject to only God alone. He remains the ultimate judge. We are alone accountable to him regarding our investigations, our examinations, our choices, our decisions, our judgments. For as God's Spirit leads us through our times of discernment and examination, the Spirit will lead us to make decisions in line with the mind of Christ, turning away from all human wisdom. And the best way that you and I can understand the mind of Christ is by first acknowledging the sacrificial way that our Lord Jesus lived. His life was never about himself. His life was never about his personal glorification. He lived and he died always for the sake of others. He lived and he died for the sake of the people of the world that his Father loved dearly. You know that verse, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Our Lord Jesus lived a sacrificial life, even for the sake of those who would persecute him. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, our Lord Jesus explains the mind of Christ to us through the Apostle Paul. Paul here says, and I read to you from verse 1, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded." Just want to check something here. Encounter college staff in the room. What's the sign for like-minded? If anything in common, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then Paul goes on to share the first part of a most beautiful old hymn, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Friends, as we bear the mind of Christ, may we together live as servants to each other and partners in mission for the sake of the city in which we live, a city that God so dearly loves. His desire is that all in our city may know the mystery of God, that they are loved by God and are his because of the cross of Jesus and his saving work alone. And friends, this will be realized as we walk together in oneness and love one another as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.
Divine, I am held by hands of healing.
of grace and love divine.
Please join me in thanksgiving, prayer, and blessing. Thank you, great and generous God, for the world you have created as our place in which to live, for the variety of landscapes and seasons, the seas, rivers, and creeks, mountains, and valleys, all the animals, birds, insects, and sea creatures who have life from you. You truly are amazing and awesome in your bountiful generosity. Glorious God, you are beyond our understanding. Your love and wisdom exceeds our comprehension, and your ways fill our hearts with joy. The beauty of creation and your presence in all things lifts our spirits, and we rejoice in praising you. Thank you for every gift of kindness. Thank you for your truth and justice. Thank you for the hope we find in the gospel, for the promise of eternal life and the presence of Holy Spirit who sustains us day by day. We praise and bless you, generous and glorious God, for you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. You will not always accuse, nor will you harbour your anger forever. You do not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so you have compassion on those who fear you. Holy Spirit, giver of wisdom, lead your church into deeper relationships. May we not rely on lofty speech, but radiate the simple, radical message of Christ crucified to a world that considers it foolishness. Sharpen our spirits to discern truth from deception. Help us to set aside our pride to seek your restoration and peace. We pray for Pastor Nigel and Amelia, our congregation leaders, volunteers, and ministry leaders. We give you thanks for their service, the time and effort they devote to their roles and their willingness to serve. Equip, strengthen, and sustain them in all they do and all they face in your name. Teach us all to rely on you alone, to draw strength from you, and to place our trust and hope in your promises, in your love, grace, and mercy. May your will be done in all places and circumstances. Holy and merciful God, we turn to you with our prayers for others. Comfort those who are lonely, anxious, or living in the land of gloom. We lift up those suffering from loss, pain, or uncertainty in 2026 and ask that your Spirit bring us a peace that surpasses understanding. We pray a blessing on the ministry partnership between the village, our congregation, and college. May we seek your Father heart in all situations, places, and people. Strengthen the bonds that unite us and give us grace and revelation in our dealings with each other. Be with our family, congregation, and community members who are undergoing or waiting for medical treatment, are in aged care, housebound, or at home and no longer able to attend weekly worship. Be with Anne and Lyle, with Kev, and all whom we carry in our thoughts, hearts, and prayers. Grant your blessings to each one. Sustain them with your love and grace. Keep them strong in faith and full of hope. In their darkest moments, bless them with a lightness and gladness of heart, the joy of salvation only found in you. Lord, your way is perfect. Help us always to trust in your goodness, so that walking with you and following you, we may possess quiet and contented minds. We ask you to pour out your mighty resurrection power through us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that Jesus may be revealed and your kingdom may come in power, changing and redeeming the world. Help us to contribute to the well-being of all people, those who hunger and those who suffer, those who are lonely and those who despair. May all that is experience your grace and wisdom. Whilst we rejoice in the news, Pastor Nigel will continue as our shepherd. Be with Nova Garden congregation as they go forward following this decision. We pray for guidance, protection, wisdom, as discernment is sought for their future. May they continue to be your light and salt in the world, pointing people to Jesus. Open our eyes to recognize your undeserved grace and fill our hearts with joyful gratitude and thanksgiving, so that we thank and praise you in word and deed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mighty God, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord, for you are the source of wisdom that the world cannot understand, a mystery hidden from for ages but now revealed to us. And so we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Gracious God, send your Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine. As we eat the bread and drink this cup, give us the mind of Christ, that we may not rely upon the wisdom of this age, but on the power of your Spirit. By this meal, unite us with the crucified and risen Lord, and keep us faithful until that day when we feast with you in your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, friends, as you come to his table today, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
gave us his Son, who yielded his life, atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Spirit,
saturate my soul, and let the life of God fill me now. Let your healing power breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it rain.
May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul to life eternal. Go in peace and continue to serve the Lord with joy. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for this meal. For in this bread and wine you have given us more than human words can explain. You have given us yourself. We have not received the spirit of this world, but we have received your spirit, that we might understand the gifts that you have freely given to us. And so now as we leave your table, may the mind of Christ continue to grow in us. Help us to see our neighbours through your eyes, to speak your truth, and to keep us, and may your spirit keep us focused on the cross, which is our only wisdom and our only hope. Send us out in oneness of your body to be your hands and your feet in a world that needs your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so may Christ, who has filled us with his spirit, enable us to now live as his lights, one light, together to his glory. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand for our closing song.
May the Lord bless you today, and may he keep you in his care, giving his peace to your soul, even when times are. May the Lord's love flow through you, just like a never-ending stream, knowing his hand will be there when you call on his name. May he always shine. Soul, even when times are hard.
Always a joy to worship together. Thank you for joining us today. Before we go and break for our cuppa together, I just want to go back and remind you of one of the big things that we want as a congregation to be thinking about this week, and that is getting ourselves organised for our Lenten series. Here's a little video clip that gives you a short insight. And that did play at rehearsal.
Welcome to the Egyptian desert. I want to invite you to join me in this extraordinary location this Lent with Lectio 365 on a life-changing 40-day journey way out into the wilds of faith. Together we'll be focusing our prayers on the wisdom of the desert fathers and mothers, that ancient, countercultural, proto-monastic movement that chose to live, work, and pray in this forbidding landscape through the 3rd to 5th centuries AD. I promise you, learning from the lives of these radical prayer warriors is going to be challenging, inspirational, and transformational for your faith, your life, and your future. So join me and the team from Lectio 365 this Lent on a life-changing journey deep into the wilds of faith.
This is going to be one amazing journey this Lent. And I can see a few heads nodding around the room because some of you who use Lectio 365 as a devotional resource on your phone realize how special it is. So I invite you, if you have not yet done so, ask a friend to help you put the Lectio 365 app on your phone today in preparation for our Lenten season, and have a good chat with each other about organising yourselves into small groups. I'm delighted to know that many of our regular small groups will be doing this through the season of Lent, and there are some who are looking to join small groups. So if you are a small group leader and someone comes up to you and says, hey, can I just join your group for this period of time? If you can have one more chair or two more chairs in your lounge room, see if you can do it. See if you can expand your group for this period so that we can all participate in a small group. Or some of you might want to help establish small groups. The forms are all out on the info table to help you connect. And if you last week asked for hard copies of the small group studies, you can pick them up from the table. They are named for you. If you still need them, please fill out a form and we'll make sure we get them to you next Sunday in preparation for our big launch. So go to your Apple App Store or your Google Play on your phone and you'll be able to access the Lectio 365 app that looks just like that logo. Have a blessed week, everyone. Oh, last thing, Vic will be over the side here for prayer. And if you're visiting here today and you wish, you're welcome to leave your name and comment in our welcome book on the welcome desk. Thanks, everyone.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare